Are you ready?
We are ready.
Welcome into Gun Talk Hunt. Today on Gun Talk Hunt, we got Dan Compton from Federal Premium. You know them. They make lots of ammo and stuff, and they got some new stuff to talk about. Today's Gun Talk Hunt is brought to you by Leupold and Timney. Also, Springfield Armory. Springfield just brought out a new bolt gun, the Model 2020 Waypoint. We hunted with it out in Wyoming recently. I really liked it. Super accurate, lightweight. They've got a few different models, but it is a premium bolt gun, and we were impressed. So check out Springfield Armory's new bolt gun, the Model 2020, and the Waypoint model is the one that just came out. Also, Timney Triggers, made in America for 74 years so far. You know what that means. Next year is 75.
Yeah.
We're going to throw a party or something.
There's got to be a big party. They've got to come out with something new. They just have to. 75 years, yes. They've got to come out with something new.
They're always innovating.
I mean,
and a trigger, we've said it before, and if you haven't done this yet, get off your hind and do it.
Get off your keister.
Get off your keister.
There you go.
But it's one of the easiest things you can do to improve your shooting and make things work better.
Yeah. And I just, you know, competing in a long range shooting match, your trigger, the consistency, I think, is what it's all about.
Yeah. So today on the show, we've got Dan Compton. Dan, welcome in, man.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
We're good. So we wanted to have you on the show because we've talked with you before about the new stuff, Federal Premium. It's everybody knows Federal Premium ammunition, and you guys are one of the, well, maybe the most complete ammo companies that we see out there. I mean, you're doing rimfire, you're doing shot shell, you're doing center fire, you're doing and muzzle loader stuff. So, I mean, Dan, you're a hunter. I mean, talk about hunting and what is, you know, how does the ammo factor in for you as a hunter?
The ammo is like everything, you know. And I mean, I'm an ammo guy, so I'm a little biased, but I've used the same analogy, you know, to kind of get off beaten path. I grew up, my dad had a fishing lodge in Canada when I grew up, so the guys fly in fishing trip. It wasn't cheap, you know, and they'd show up and they'd bring, you know, they'd spend so much money on gear, plane tickets, all that. They get up there with a $20 rod and a $5 reel, you know,
yeah,
to go on the fishing trip of a lifetime.
Got your zip code.
Yeah, that you can get a 20 plus pound Northern on any day of the week, you know? So
wow.
I've always looked at, you know, if the elk hunting is the same, antelope hunting is the same, whatever it is, you know, the connection between you and the animal is the bullet. So,
yeah,
you know, there's been cup and core, you know, our power shot blue box bullets or Remington core lock bullets have been around forever. They've killed tons of animals, but you know, what we're always pushing is try to get that better mouse trap. You know, we're up at that 98% trying to get to 100 with the innovations and stuff we do. So to me, you know, we try to have a little something for everybody, and we're now, it seems like we're getting more system related, you know, we're catering to specific guns and we're catering to specific systems to get the most out of it. And I think that's really where the future of the barrel is for us.
I got a story for you.
Oh, no.
I got a story for you about, all right, so what you're talking about, Dan, is like you go on some big hunt and then you bring a gear or ammo that doesn't perform. Now, one of the neat things about being in the gun media world is we get to try out the new stuff. One of the pain in the ass things about being in the gun media is we get to be the guinea pigs to try out the new stuff.
Oh, it's awesome.
So this goes back a ways, all right? My grandfather, he was an outdoor media guy, Gertz Gresham, and he was given – this is the way I grew up. When I went hunting, it was always, here's this new gun, try it out. Here's this new ammo, this new scope, try it out. So he was given the new – ammo, new bullets. This is going back like 40, 50 years on an African hunt.
Ooh.
Okay. Now, Dan, you know how bullet performance can be where it's like, this is an awesome bullet. But what if you shoot something really close? That's a tough test of a bullet because you think, well, really close, it's gonna smash the animal. No, it might smash the bullet. And
yeah.
A lion at 20 yards and he has to shoot it charging at him, and the bullet hits the lion's teeth and breaks up on impact. It just shatters the bullet. And it breaks the lion's jaw. It injures the lion, but the lion is not dead.
And he's still mad.
And he's still really, really irritated.
Now he's really mad.
Yeah, now
he's going to have to go to the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be mad too.
So then they had to track the lion and all this stuff and shoot it again. But it's just an example of like why ammo is so important.
Oh,
that's a dramatic example of it.
So it broke, like, it hit
the lion's front teeth and broke the jaw.
Okay.
And then, you know, he was not impressed. He kept charging. They had to shoot him again.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You're thinking, well, I shot him right in the head.
No.
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 Bullet wasn't designed for that.
And bullets, like, you know, depending on what it was, but they, you know, hydrostatic pressure, right, liquids, you know, they help give that squish factor.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're hitting something hard, you know, it really is a wild card. So like if you're solid monolithic bullets, sometimes you'll get a square shoulder shot, but there's not a lot of skin there, you know? So if you did get it right kind of on that sweet spot of the bone or the shoulder where there's not a lot of hide between, and I've seen like if you tweak the tip a little bit, well, now the bullet, it's all cavities close up and it doesn't expand. So
yeah,
you know, hard barriers can be really weird. And like on law enforcement, it's auto glass is like the biggest and toughest thing to design around because it's such a wild card.
Yeah, glass is a big problem.
We if you were going on an Africa lion hunt, I would be 100% that we knew exactly what that bull was going to do before we got a team.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I don't think we'd ever guinea pig yet to that level.
I'm just impressed that Gritz was able to shoot a lion's tooth out while he's charging. I guarantee you that's where he was aiming at.
Hey,
he's like, you know what?
I don't want him to be able to bite me.
Exactly.
I'm going to shoot his teeth out.
Yeah.
You know, it's precision.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, so Dan, what bullets should we have for lion hunting? Let's just go off the rails on this. So a lion is not an elephant. It's a soft-skinned animal. It's not like you're talking about buffalo or elephant where you need solids, right? You don't need solids on a lion.
No, I wouldn't. If it was me, I would go tried and true trophy bonded bear claw. I think it's really tough to beat. You're going to get a bullet that's going to expand well. It's not going to break apart. You're going to get deep penetration. If you need to break shoulders, you're breaking it. But it's probably either going to go all the way through or it's going to hit them right on the hide. Or if you got a charging shot, it's going to be enough to take his teeth out if you need to. So you should be, that's what I would go with. Trophy bonded bear claw.
It's helpful to have versatility. And I would think a bullet like that would be a good fit as far as a versatile bullet because – the thing is, in an Africa situation, you don't know exactly what you're going to encounter.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it can be, it's a lot of it's just you come over the hill and, oh my gosh, there's an onyx or an oryx.
Right. Yeah. It's
and then there's a Cape buffalo right around the corner.
That's right.
Right. It's targets of opportunity sometimes.
Yeah.
Your guide goes, hey, I know we're on a lion hunt, but that's a trophy sable over there. You want to do that?
Yeah.
It's like the McDonald's of hunting. I'll take a number one and a number two.
Yeah.
But we're gonna upsell you to a number three.
Yeah. I mean, we can see him. He's 600 yards that way. If you want to put a stock on him, that would be an amazing animal. Yeah.
But what's in between you and that 600 yards that pops out? I mean,
oh, it's a herd of Cape buffalo.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Run for your life.
Yeah.
And the outfitter, they know that, you know, you book your hunt, you're there, you know, they get you in on that little package. They know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you want that? And you're like, yes.
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I came all this way.
And they're really good salesmen too. I guarantee you they're really good salesmen. They're like, oh, we had a client last week miss this one. You've got to take him.
Right.
He's the unkillable beast.
That's
and
right.
They got like 20 others lined
up. Do it for
up.
Me.
It's like, yeah, do it. Hey, you'll really appreciate this. This is, they've got to be great salesmen.
Oh,
if you're looking for a salesman, man, go find a PH over in Africa that's really good at upselling.
Right. You know what's something? So we actually wanted to get into muzzle loading stuff.
Well,
but I don't know if I've ever heard of anyone doing muzzle loading in Africa. Have you? Have you, Dan?
I've heard a little bit of it. I've asked about it to some of the people I know there, and our sales guy who handles the, you know, the lower, the north, the southern part of Africa. He said very little, but it is done. And normally if it's done, it's like I'm super hardcore. I've shot everything. I'm a jockey type, right?
Yeah. Sure.
And they're going for it, but like organically, like, you know, cause there's a pretty big hunting base in Africa itself. You know, that populace isn't really going for it. It'd be someone like me who's a, loves the muzzle loading and just wants to take it.
Yeah.
Yep.
A ballistic geek that we go, now, you know, that would be neat to just say I did it.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, Dan said something earlier that kind of caught my attention. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners and viewers were kind of the same in that they're starting to create projectiles and loads to the specific gun, not necessarily like, you know, a group of or a family of guns.
Right.
It's dedicated towards one.
It's a systems approach.
Yeah, it's a systems approach.
Well, I mean, and right before we got on this call, I said, well, I just saw a thing about the hammer down, which is, I mean, Dan, you can explain it, but it's ammo for lever guns, right?
Yeah, we try to, you know, as an ammo company, your ammo's got to work for everybody, right? And we've always tried to be that way. And you try not to play too many favorites, but we've had a good relationship with Henry over the years, and we're talking to him. He's like, where can we collaborate together? Like, we're like, what's your pain points? You know, what are you hearing from your consumers? And they're like, for us, it's feeding. You know, people have a lot of issues with feeding and lever guns. And then they just want to know, what ammo should I hunt with? And so we looked at work with them, looked at the design, and we realized we could put a little bit of a radius on the base or the base of the head of the cartridge, you know, down right on the rim. And it almost eliminated all the feeding problems that they saw and everything that they function tested. So
interesting.
So it's, you know, it seemed fairly simple. It's actually something we're looking at patenting, or we have applied for a patent on it. But, you know, so something like that, you know, we came up with hammer down, and then our goal with that was not necessarily one bullet, but what was the best bullet for caliber for hunting. So it could be a plated or a bonded fusion style bullet, or it could be a traditional cut and core bullet. It just depends on the cartridge that we did.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have a variety platter of stuff to choose from when you do this, because you have so much variety of bullets. Yeah. I mean, you guys do it all.
We pick the best hunting ground, what's going to feed the best, and then something that seems simple and kind of subtle, but they sell a lot of 44 mag and 327 Federal and handgun cartridges and lever guns, but they don't put handgun cartridges in the rifle area, and I own a rifle, and they're looking through all the 30-06, 27, and they can't find it. So we actually packaged it in kind of longer, skinnier boxes so it could be merchandised in the rifle area. You know, so just simple things like that.
Thinking top to bottom. That's what they're doing.
Make it easy
that's
for all they're people.
Doing. Yeah.
Because that's true. Like you said, Dan, if there may be people go that they own a lever gun, they want to hunt with it, but they may not be experts or super into it. Do you go, I mean, what do I need
Where
here?
Where do because, you start?
Yeah, because if you – that's true. If you go buy 44 mag or 357 mag defensive loads, that may be not the perfect load. I mean, it could do the job, but it may not be the perfect load for what you're doing.
Yeah, and some of the other, there's other, you know, lever gun type ammo out there, but a lot of the guns had that they had to like adjust the chambers to work with it. So we tried to go the other way and make the ammo really, really work with the gun. But yeah, it seems, you know, something, I'm an ammo nerd, you know, I've been living it forever, and it seems something so intuitive. Well, I know where the 44 mag is, and if it's not in the rifle, it's in the handgun, but not everybody, you know, has that or just doesn't think that way. So we try to take a holistic approach. You know, it's going to shoot better, it's going to be the best to find, and then you just be very specific. You know, if it's got a picture of a lever gun on the box, that's what you use in this game.
Yep.
So go along those lines.
Yes.
Complete systems approach.
I want to go back to the muzzle. Let's come on. let's get to it.
Let's talk about the fire stick. Fire stick.
Yeah, and I think it was a year ago that we met, or I was on with Tom, and we talked about, I think we talked about 4.62 buckshot, and we talked about our custom shop, and this was another topic that we weren't quite ready to discuss on air, I think. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. This goes back almost, I would say, I've been on the product team almost 8 years now.
Wow.
And one of the very first projects that came up was, when I started, was this muzzle loading system. And we actually had an innovation team, it was called, and that we got some funding for. And that's how my position was helped get funded as well. And what came out of that was our Syntec handgun loads with the polymer coating on them. And mainly that was more of a process as opposed to the polymer coating that was pulled together. What else came out of that? We did some cost cutting measures, but our muzzle loading bullet, the bore lock bullet, was another one. And then this system. And you said, you know, we're all across a bunch of different uses, but muzzle loading was an area we didn't play in very, you know, a lot. So this was a category that we thought we could go in and grow. And the guys came up with, one of our engineers, Brian Peterson, came up with this, you know, rear charging design for a muzzle powder. What if you could encapsulate the powder in something and take a break action gun, still use your ramrod, still load from the muzzle, but you're charging it from the rear? And they came up with a couple of concepts. They made some brass cartridges out of it initially, you know, so we could have. And we had this working prototype, and they made a Ruger number one rifle, which is really cool. In our shop, you know. That'll probably just be kind of a trophy there for a long time. But we made something that could shoot and work, and we're like, oh, it's kind of a good idea. And then we kind of sat on it. Wow. And so then, as all ideas, you know, you're always, we got a roadmap that goes out years and years for what new products, and it's always on the map. But it was like, well, is it timing right? It's not. And then about 3 years ago, we decided let's look for a partner and see if we can bring this into being. And so we reached out to Traditions and said, hey, would you guys want to partner with us on this concept? And they were thrilled, and they've been great to work with. And so that's kind of how it started. You're like, where can we grow in an area? And then what, you know, if you're muzzle loaded, you probably know why it hasn't been fun. You know, it's dirty, it's super unreliable. And moisture just kills them. You know, I've done some late, and it's always late season, wet and snowing and crappy outside.
No, and it's so, not. Oh, that's the problem.
He's got a story about this, Dad. He's got a bone to pick.
It's not with Federal.
No, it's not with anybody. Yeah.
It's with the complications that you encounter. So I'm going on a hunt. I go on the hunt the day before, I load my gun, I leave it in the truck. Right. And I know there is a big deer in the area. I know I saw him the day I hunted, didn't get a shot on him, left my muzzleloader in the truck, went inside, slept, woke up. It's a 40-minute drive. So the temperatures are outside are probably they're right around that freezing mark or so. So I crank the heater up.
Yeah, get toasty.
Yeah, I'm going to get toasty. I'm going to feel good. And crank the heater up for 40 minutes, drive to my spot. Gun's still, you know, charged. It's still good to go. And so I, you know, get in my blind. I'm sitting there. It's coming up. And the sun's coming up. And, oh, my gosh, you wouldn't believe it. Here comes, like, four or five, like, good shooter bucks. All like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've struck gold.
It's a bachelor party.
This is perfect. And I, you know, the primer's in. It's a 60-yard shot. Easy. Pop. And then all the deer kind of sit there and they look up and they're like, what the heck?
What was that?
And I'm like, well, maybe my primer just doesn't mean business. So I put another one in, line it up. Deer are still out there right in front of me. Pop, same thing. And I'm going, and then I think back and I'm going, oh my gosh, I've got wet powder. I know I do. Because the condensation buildup
changing in temperature.
And so I go in and I'm like frantically trying to load, you know, unload it and get it clean, get it
in the blind.
In the blind.
In
the heat of the moment, you know, because I carry a, like, basically my emergency kit with me of if something goes wrong with my muzzleloader, I can break it down all right there and get back into it. I did it, and by that time, the deer were, you know, 200 yards off, and I wasn't going to take that shot.
Yeah.
I didn't feel comfortable with it, with having, you know, formally having wet powder in. And so I went and test fired it. It shot great, but it came, all that powder came out in clumps when I was
really?
Coming out. Yeah. Cause it was wet. It was soaked.
Did it start out as like the pellets?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it just came out.
Wow.
It was
that wet.
It was that wet. And just from doing that. And that's something, yes, that's on me, but it's something that, you know, I mean, it just slipped my mind that morning. I just didn't think about it.
It's cold in the truck overnight.
Yes.
Then you heat it up and then you get into the stand.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a problem. So Dan, the fire stick
could have helped
in that situation.
I think it would have helped.
So explain how you guys do this. I mean, it's, you're loading it, you're charging it from the rear. I mean, how does this work?
Yeah, so it has to be used with a system dedicated to the fire stick.
It's a special, it's a gun that is the fire stick gun. Okay, with Traditions.
Yeah, so at this time, Traditions nitro fire rifles are compatible with the fire stick. So you have your traditional 209 muzzle loader. It's going to have a breech plug in the back that you'll put your primer in. So that breech plug has now been removed, and it looks more like a traditional rifle chamber. There's a ring that stops up front, and your fire stick is going to insert and go against that ring, and your bullet is going to come down and seat against that ring, and there's a little bit of space between the two. So that ensures that your chamber is always filled with the fire stick, and your bullet is always going to seat against a consistent, you know, base spot at the bottom of the rifle. And then, so what we do there with the fire stick itself is a plastic cartridge. It looks a lot like a shotgun shell, but it is an injection molded piece. It's a different design. It's got a really thick head on it. Hmm. And we fill that with powder. We put a roll crimp on top of the disc. And then you, as a shooter, will take a 209 primer and insert it from the back.
Okay.
And then if you're going to hunt, or when you go to shoot the rifle, you use your ramrod, you sink the bullet down the barrel. You crack the action open, you put in the fire stick, and then you can insert your primer at that time, close the action, it's ready to fire.
So you're saying that really all KJ needs to do is just wrap his powder in like saran wrap, and he'll
something
be good
like
to go.
Right?
It's so frustrating, but now, so primers sold separately, there's a specific bullet that goes with it, right?
No, you can use any bullet that you ever... That you choose.
Is there a special primer, or is it just kind of any muzzleloader primer?
Now, so far, we've tested a variety, like the Federal 209 muzzleloader primer is kind of what is our natural one that we've used the most, which our consumers are going to gravitate towards that.
Okay.
So far, most primers we haven't run into any issues so far with the testing we have with any primers out there, but we've done a majority of our primers have been with the Federal muzzleloading primer. PMZ 209, we call it.
Now, is the performance similar to other muzzle loaders? Obviously there's advantages in when we talk about the moisture control part of it. Are there any other advantages to this system?
We found that the powder is a granulated powder inside the charge. It's a modern powder. It's a Hodgson 888 is their formula. You're going to find that any other, you know, higher end muzzleloader powder, like a Blackhorn 209, your performance is going to be similar to that. It seems like for the amount of powder you use, you get a little bit more oomph out of it.
Okay.
And then by putting it in the cartridge itself, it seems to be more efficient than just putting it down the barrel and stacking a bullet on top of it. We get standard deviations of single digits most of the time, which as a long range shooter, KJ, you would kill for that.
Yeah.
You know, that's
well, consistent. It's consistent. And that's, I think that's one of the biggest hangups to, you know, the traditional muzzle loading is because you can get inconsistent charges.
I mean, it could be hundreds of feet per second difference.
Absolutely.
Potentially.
Yeah. And the temperature plays a huge role in that. Huge role. Just by the nature of the chemistry compound of the powders, as you get colder, how it was explained to me is like, think of a bunch of crystals in a way, and the temperature is going to affect the texture of the powder. And so as it breaks, those crystals break in a different way, which gives you a different burn component, which gives you different pressure and velocities. And
wow.
I didn't realize there that much went into it, but our powder chemists are pretty smart guys. So by encapsulating it, what happens, it's similar to a rifle round or a cartridge, is you get this pressure build, and then eventually that roll cap's going to break and it's going to shatter the top of the bullet and then release I think if you got a bullet in there due to the tolerance they have with some bows or whatever, you may be displacing the bullet a little bit. Your pellet bed could be a different shape, could be a different angle. Plus, you got a 209 primer having to shoot through an inch and a quarter of a little fouled up breech plug. So all those variables, you know, we're eliminating. And so sure. I think that's the main thing. We're getting a consistent pressure release every single time. And we got the powder controlled to, you know, down to the tenth of a grain is how we're able to load it, or a hundredth of a grain even. So
what about storage of these fire sticks? I mean, how does that work as opposed to, you know, your kind of loose powder and stuff?
Yeah, so loose powder, especially pellets, you know, they really just absorb ambient moisture out of the air. You know, so I'd say if you opened a box of pellets this year, I would probably not use them next year unless you really shot them and you know what they're doing. So that was one thing that we really wanted to make sure is, like, if I bought it this year and I have them up in my garage, you know, what are they going to be like? They should be the same. We're still saying use, you know, all ammo, you know, the ambient conditions are what can deteriorate it. So cool, dry place is always best. But if they're in your garage, you shouldn't see a difference from this year to the next. And then other things like plastic, I wouldn't leave them on the, you know, we've done accelerated tests, but if you left them on the dashboard of your car for 3 years, eventually, you know, that polymer could maybe wear down. So sure, we say don't store in direct sunlight and stuff like that, but it's all pretty much common sense stuff. You should be able to just put it in your kit and should be ready to go next year.
Wow. So it does improve the durability, longevity of the powder as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. See, that's key too. I think a lot of guys don't think about powder long-term storage.
We're guilty of this as hunters. We're guilty of it.
But that's how you figure stuff out.
Because it'll be sitting in your hunting pack over the off season, and then you go, sweet, let me go take this out and, you know, shoot.
And you're
it.
Like, why is my gun so off?
Right.
Like, it was on last time I shot it.
Exactly. Well, I got a quick story.
Yeah.
I got a story from just sighting in one time, and this was 2 years ago. And we were right in the development of this project, and I was shooting a different powder, but was at the range, and it was kind of misting out. And I had powder sitting in like a dispenser powder measure, and I shot my first shot, and it was like, I think I was 4 inches high, so I adjusted, shot the next one, and I was on, and then I was just planking away now. Shot the next one, and I dropped 4 inches, and then I dropped 4 inches,
wow.
And I dropped four more, and then I misfired.
Wow.
And I was like, what is going on? You know, so I called the engineers, and he's like, well, yeah, it's practically raining outside. Your powder's sucking up moisture. You're losing power. And I said, I was just shocked. I couldn't believe it. So those are the things.
From the first shot to the fourth shot, or fifth shot, you're off paper.
Yeah.
It was like 18 inches. It was, and then it didn't fire.
I wonder how many guys out there, like, seriously, how many guys would have been in your situation who don't know an engineer or powder guy that are like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, I was like speed dial. What is going on?
Jeez.
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, that goes back to it. And muzzle loading it's a fun challenge.
Yep.
It can get you into an extra hunting season or maybe be able to get a tag where it was tougher to get the rifle tag or something like that. But, you know, there are some challenges with it. I mean, that's what you guys are trying to address with this fire stick. I think that's really cool.
Well, I think it's a great, I mean, if you think about muzzle loading, there has not been a lot of innovation. There just hasn't been in it because it's pretty standard stuff. You know, they might come out with a new powder or a new bullet design, but nothing that's kind of almost rethinking the muzzleloader. And I think that's one great thing that's Federal been able to open our eyes up to.
Very cool. Dan, thanks for being on with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, so if you guys are
in the field this fall,
thank you very much. You
might
too.
I mean, have to get some fire sticks.
Might have to make a call, get some fire sticks, and call it Guys at Traditions and get one of those guns. So very cool. If you're thinking about muzzle loading, if you're thinking about maybe getting a new system in place, this
now's
might
the time
be something to consider. Yeah, go ahead and get her done because there's, depending on where you are, there's early muzzle loader and there's late muzzle loader. So, you know, get in the primitive hunting seasons. Absolutely. All right. That's it for us. Yes, sir.
I was going to get real quick, just because I don't think we brought it up. But yeah, it's they're out there shipping now. They should be on the shelves now.
Okay.
And we have 100 grain and 120 grain equivalents. So if you're looking for like a more magnum load, we have that, or a little softer load, we have both. One's orange and one's red, so it makes it real easy to tell the difference.
Wow. See, they're thinking.
I know. They're thinkers over there. All right, cool. That's it for us. We'll see you next time on Gun Talk Hunt.